Pentecost. I hope you like the color of green, because we will be seeing green now for many months as the liturgical color for Pentecost remains the same. But we're grateful that you're here. It's hard to imagine that the first half of this year is almost over, and it's clipping along, and I hope you're having a good year thus far. A couple of announcements before we go into prayer requests. If you'll look with me on the announcements on the back of the bulletin, our next healing and prayer service is coming up sooner than later because of some conflicting dates in June, so it'll be June the 9th here at 7 p.m. And then you'll also notice that we have two summer fellowship opportunities that are coming up. On the 30th of June, we'll be having the ice cream social out at the Kurtz's home. You can bring your favorite ice cream or topping, and the instructions are there, and we always have a great time and have a good time of fellowship and wonderful ice cream. If you have any questions, Kelly's number is there. Also, the Bankies are inviting everyone to a pool party on July the 13th. It might be hot, but they've got a pool, so bring a bathing suit and we'll have a great time. And they're going to provide the main course and beverage, and just let Ann know what you could bring as a side. Also, we had a wonderful accomplishment yesterday. Robert Wright's oldest daughter, Cheyenne, graduated from high school. So we want to show appreciation to Cheyenne. So what we're going to do, as I stated on the phone, I'm going to circulate this now, just sign it, make sure we get it back. And then when you're walking out the buffet or that table to the right, right when you're walking out, there's a gold offering plate. If you want to throw a few dollars or whatnot in it, we'll make sure that Cheyenne gets that as a gift from her church congregation. Any other announcements? Any prayer requests? Brandon?
Yeah.
Let's keep another. Yesterday your dad said she was not doing any better. How's it today? Okay. Well, let's keep Gail. The surgery went well, but she's had a lot of pain and difficulty since then. So let's keep Gail in our prayers. And Carrie, did you have your hand up?
I did. We've been praying for Sean Butler. He passed away on Friday, so we can just keep Robin and Lily and all his kids in prayer. And also, Elle is having surgery Tuesday. She was diagnosed with sleep apnea, and they're going to take out her tonsils and adenoids on Tuesday. Just keep Elle in your prayers.
So Sean Butler's family, and then Ella taking her tonsils out on Tuesday. All right, anyone else?
Robert.
I want to keep Mr. Hamilton in the prayers. He fell and broke his leg. He's been for 2 weeks and been making on it. They said that he didn't have no injuries, and then they found out he was broken. He's having surgery this morning. So keep him in your prayers, please.
Let's keep Philip Hamilton in our prayers. Thanks, Robert. Andrew.
Yeah, thanks everybody for praying for my daughter Rebecca. She had surgery and recovering from that, and up there helping her. So thank you for your prayers. Continue to pray for recovery.
Okay. Let's keep Rebecca and her continued successful recovery in prayer. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for the beauty of the day, just for an opportunity to gather in freedom in this country, to be able to openly and publicly worship. We thank you for the freedoms afforded to us, and we do pray, as your word would call us to pray for our leaders, our elected officials, for those that serve us at home and abroad. May we never forget to remember that they put themselves in difficult situations to maintain those freedoms. And we just pray also that our leaders will seek to follow your word, for we know your word says that when our leaders follow your word, the people are happy. So we pray that would be the operating course of those that are given that position of leadership. We pray that you be with our congregation, that we continue to lift high in the name of Jesus Christ, and just continue to bless us as we have different ministry opportunities and mission opportunities and fellowship opportunities. May we continue to just see the sweet fellowship that we have continue to grow and develop. We pray in particular for these that we've mentioned. We thank you that Gail's surgery went well, but we pray that her recovery, which has been quite painful, will improve. We pray that the pain would be kept to a minimum, and we just pray that you'll be with her and the entire family. Be with Sean Butler's family as he fought a good fight and has entered in and received the rewards of his faith, but we pray that you would be with his wife and children and family, uphold them, strengthen them during this time of their loss. We pray that you would be with Ella if she's having her tonsils removed on Tuesday. May that go well, keep any anxiety at bay, and just may it be a simple and routine process for them. We pray that you'd be with Philip, keep him in prayers, may pain be kept to a minimum, may he be able to regain his strength and mobility, be with his dear wife as well. And we also thank you for how well Rebecca's surgery went. We pray that her recovery will continue to go well. We pray blessings upon Cheyenne. We pray that you will continue to put a hedge of protection around her and guide her as she now takes this step of graduation and moves into the next chapter of her life. May she do so knowing that she's loved and supported by us and that she's guided by you. Thank you for this time of worship we have today. May all that we say or do, not only during this hour, but in our lives, be to your glory. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. As always, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin, create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you'll look with me to the insert, Psalm 81, we'll use the first 10 verses to call each to worship, and then we'll stand and sing hymn 491. Sing with joy to God our strength, and raise a loud shout to the God of Jacob.
Raise a song in the sound of the cymbal, the merry harp and the lyre.
Blow the ram's horn at the new moon, and at the full moon the day of our feast.
For this is the statute for Israel, the law of the God of Jacob.
He laid it as a solemn charge upon Joseph when he came out of the land of Egypt.
I heard a familiar voice saying, I eased his shoulder from the burden. His hands were set free from bearing the load.
You called on me in trouble, and I saved you. I answered you from the secret place of thunder, and tested you at the waters of Meribah.
Hear, O my people, that I may admonish you.
There shall be no strange god among you. You shall not worship a foreign god.
I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and said, open your eyes.
Sabbath day,
to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Power and the glory forever and ever.
Amen.
The New Testament reading today is from 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 5 to 12. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have these treasures in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work with us, but life in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
has promised to walk and to talk with us throughout life and all eternity. We give you all praise. Amen.
Amen.
Gospel reading is Mark chapter 2, verses 23 to 28, and chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for anyone but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." And again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored.
Amen.
The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. So make sure to circulate that talk. Wherever it is. Grace and peace be to you, O God, our Savior, and our Lord Jesus Christ. That was a beautiful anthem that the choir sang for us today.
Amen.
Many of us love that song, and many of you, you know the joy, as it says in that hymn, that joy, a sweet joy of tarrying with Him as you walk with Him and talk with Him, and He talks to you, and you walk together in the cool of the day in the garden, and it's a wonderful, joyous time. Do you also know the joy that can be found in walking in midnight in a dark place where you're talking and you don't hear Him talking back? He seems silent. Or, as a friend of mine shared with me this past week and convicted me of my own self-centeredness, a friend reached out and asked me if I needed moving boxes. And I said, sure. And they proceeded to ask me how things were going. And I guess I responded honestly, but complained a little bit, and the friend said, "Well, at least you don't have cancer." And I just took it sort of as a, "Well, yeah, you're right." But, and then dense me realized, "Are you telling me that you have cancer?" And she said, "Yes." And then she said, "I'm not speaking to God right now." And she knew she could say this to me because she wouldn't get a sermon on how that's a wrong attitude to take. I wouldn't chide her. She knew I would comfort her. But she also could say it because she knew that's how she truly feels. And some of you may have walked through not those wonderful gardens, but those desert, arid places where you feel like you just don't want to. You're fearful that what you might say is not what you think would be quite religious to speak. But let me assure you that your story is this story. The scripture is your story. The very first book that we have of the Bible written is the book of Job. Let me read to you Job's garden adventure. In Job 16, listen to these words from a righteous man, Job, speaking of God. He has torn me in his wrath and hated me. He has gnashed his teeth at me. My adversary sharpens his eyes against me. Men have gaped at me with their mouth. They have struck me insolently on the cheek. They mass themselves together against me. God gives me up. He casts me into the hand of the wicked. I was at ease, and God broke me apart. He seized me by the neck and dashed me to pieces. He set me up as a target. His archers surrounded me. My slashers open my kidneys and does not spare. He pours out gall on the ground. He has broken me time after time. He runs upon me like a warrior. I have sewed sackcloth upon my skin, and I've laid my strength in the dust. My face is red with weeping, and on my eyelids is deep darkness, although there is no violence on my hands, and my prayer is only that I would be pure. But even now, my witness in heaven, my friends scorn against me. My eyes pour out my tears to God, that he would argue the case of a man, but he does not speak. Now, you've probably not seen that on many posters hanging in homes or seen it on words of encouragement. But the truth is, brothers and sisters, as Job experienced and as my friend is experiencing, isn't it wonderful to know that the joy of our faith is not dependent upon the circumstances that we're going through? No matter how difficult they may be, we know, and Paul knew, as he read, as we heard read by Andy in 2 Corinthians, he used words like, we're afflicted, we're perplexed, confused, we're persecuted, we're struck down. Later in the chapter, he'll say, or in the book, in chapter 6, he'll say, by afflictions, by hardships, by difficulties, by beatings, by imprisonments, by sleepless nights. In chapter 11 of this same chapter, listen to this. 5 times I received at the hand of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. And then he goes on to talk about other dangers. See, the truth of the matter is, our faith must hold at all times, good and bad. Because we're going to have more of the bad than we are the good. This is as old as Job. It's your experience. And that would be what I would call what Rumi, the great 13th century poet, he called these house guests. I don't know if you know his poem, The Guest House, but let me read it to you. This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. I tell you, welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house, empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been set as a guide from above. See, what Paul outlines for us in this passage is the words that Jesus gave in Matthew 11:28. You can hear behind Paul saying, we have been afflicted, we have been perplexed, we have been destroyed, we can hear the sweet words of our Savior saying, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you peace. I will give you joy." But I'm going to suggest very briefly that Paul outlines in 2 Corinthians in this passage, there are two types of joy. One will fail in the tough times. One only works when everything's going well. The other will hold tight to us in good and bad times. And don't you want one that works in both good and bad? What good is a ship that only floats in easy water? We want a ship that will keep us safe in rough waters. The first joy that Paul outlines here is what I call performance joy. It's, or maybe prosperity joy. You know, I want to alliterate. It's that joy that you've done a great job. It's a joy you have when you've accomplished and life is going well. It's that joy that you know when you've done a good job and everybody in the family's healthy and the finances are good and the job is increasing. It's that joy of performances that are good. That joy where you just feel on top of the world. But the real circle of life is what Jerry Falwell Sr. used to say. He said, everyone you meet is interacting with problems. They're either just gotten out of a problem, they're in a problem now, or they're about ready to go into one they don't know of. Life is a circle. As Job says in another portion, life is short and full of troubles. And if you only have this performance joy, this joy that holds when things are going well, you're going to be unhappy most of the time. I have a friend who's a through hiker on the Appalachian Trail. He's hiked the entire almost 2,200, I was going to say square feet, linear miles of the AT. Leonard's done it three times, and he's written books. And if you look at Leonard, he doesn't look like a hiker. He's short, and he just doesn't look like a hiker. But he's done it three times. And he says that the physical part of the hike is the easiest part. He says whatever shape you start out in about 4 weeks, you're in real good shape. He said the physical part is the easiest part. You know what he said the hardest part of the hike is? The mental part. The loneliness. And he said one of the most difficult times is people like going on day hikes when it's pretty, right? Wasn't it beautiful yesterday? How many of you have ever woken up, opened up the window, and you saw it was pouring rain, and you said to your partner, or your friend, or your wife, or your spouse, "Hey, honey, let's go for a hike today." No. We don't want to hike in the rain. And Leonard said that in his experience, you have cloudy days, either rain or clouds, 2 out of 3 days. So unless you can have an attitude, a perspective in life that allows you to find joy even when only 1/3 of the time it's sunny, you're not going to make it. And that's the same with life. If all we have is joy when everything is going well and performing on all 8 cylinders, we won't have the joy that Jesus Christ intended for us. So let me offer the second joy that Paul talks about. It's not performance joy. It's promise joy. It's clinging to that promise that I will never leave nor forsake you. It's clinging to that promise that I'm there even if you can't sense that I'm there. It's clinging to that promise that even though you don't want to talk to me and it sounds and feels like I'm being silent to you, I'm there. Paul had already, in 1 Corinthians 1, spoken this type of promise joy when he said, all the promises of God are yes in Christ Jesus. And then he says, and it is God who establishes you. See, we must find joy not in what we see, the circumstances, but what we hear, the promise. At several funerals that I've gone to, most particularly my father's, a hymn was sung that speaks to this, and I'd like to read it. The title is, The Anchor Holds. I have journeyed through the long dark night, out on the open sea, by faith alone, sight unknown, and yet his eyes were watching me. I've had visions, I've had dreams, I've even held them in my hand, but I never knew they would slip right through, like they were only grains of sand. I've been young, but I'm older now, and there has been beauty these eyes have seen, but it was in the night that the storms of my life, oh, that's where God proved his love for me. And the refrain is, the anchor holds. Though the ship is battered, the anchor holds. Though the sails are torn, I've fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas, the anchor holds. In spite of the storm. That joy you can't lose. Because that joy is not dependent on how things are performing. That joy is not dependent upon how clear the skies are. That joy is we cling to the promise. And that anchor holds. And we're following Jesus when we do this. For in Hebrews, we say, let us fix our eyes on him, the pioneer of our faith. And the word there for fix is only used one time in the New Testament and used there. And it has the emphasis not so much upon what you're looking at, but what you're looking away from. So basically the emphasis is turn your eyes away from everything else and fix it on the one. The verse goes on to say, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. See, we're in good company. My friend who says I don't want to talk to God right now, those of you who've gone through difficult paths, those in no darkness and rain, they're in good company. Because Jesus Christ even had to turn his eyes away from what was around him. And for the joy set before him, he clung to the promise of God. And he learned to teach us to praise even in the midst of rain. I'd like to close with a wonderful poem that I just learned of yesterday by a Native American poet named Joy Harjo. And it's called Praise the Rain. Praise the rain, the seagull dive. Praise the plant, the raven talk. Praise crazy. Praise when you're sad. Praise the path on which you're led. Praise the roads that run high and those that run low. Praise the beginnings. Praise the end. Praise the song. Praise the singer. Praise the rain, for it brings more rain. Praise the rain, it brings more rain. See, the real joy is when it rains, we let it. Because we hold tightly and cling only on that promise that I have come to give you life and that more abundantly. And that promise, that anchor holds in good days and in tough days. And that's a joy that we want to have. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. You may be seated.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Faithful God, we rejoice in spirit and in truth to celebrate the weight of your glory. For even when we perceive you with foolish and self-seeking hearts, you still redeem our waywardness with your grace. You destined us from before the foundation of the world to be your companions through your Son, Jesus Christ. And through your chosen people, and though your chosen people sought to be like other nations, and though your church forgets that its foundation and purpose is you, still you do not forget us. Through your Son's cross, you dismantled the power of sin and death, and made a new family of all who do your will. And so with glad and grateful hearts, we sing your unending praise with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
God of incarnation, in Jesus you made an earthly tent in which to dwell among us. You raised him from the dead that we might tabernacle with you forever. Make yourself known among us today in this tent of meeting you set up with us. Through your Holy Spirit, make the crucified and risen Lord present to us. Make us holy through him that we may behold your glory. And by that same Spirit, sanctify this bread and this wine, that it may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Liberating God, visit your children who are enslaved by the harshness of others. Raise up your people when their sons are pressed into servitude and their daughters are made playthings of the powerful. Transform the hearts of rulers that they may use their power to set people free and exert their influence to promote flourishing life for all under their authority. Unshackle any who live under the shadow of oppression and let them go. Until the day you bring us into your one eternal presence, transforming every sorrow and sin and suffering in the fullness of your glory beyond all measure. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ever one God, now and forever.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Where we hear the promise that we cling to is through word and sacrament. When we read the scripture, we're to confess and believe that we are hearing the very word of God to us. When we receive the sacrament, we hear the word of our Savior, echoing the promise of the psalmist when God said, I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Christ echoing that in Isaiah's call to come and to receive wine without money or without charge. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor. And today we hear those same words to all of us, saying, come unto me, all who love me in sincerity and truth, and I will give you rest. I will give you healing for your souls. I will give you comfort for your weakness. And I will give you peace for your confusion. So I invite all of you to come and to receive what Jesus Christ offers to us all. Amen.
gracious Lord. We thank you for the surety of your promise. We thank you that because your promise was issued from above, from all eternity, it is certain and sure and fixed in the heavens. May we stare and gaze and fixate only on the goodness of the Lord. May light shine perpetually. And in Christ Jesus, we know that the light has overcome the darkness. And we stand in the light and give you praise and glory for all your goodness through Christ and in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I'd ask you to stand, and we'll finish by singing hymn 509, My Faith Looks Up to Thee.
Service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.
Thanks be to God.